The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Ticker Stock. It's the 26th of October, 2023, Q4. I'm joined by John. Is it Kashmir, John, today?
No.
Okay, well, just Woolen John.
Awesome, probably.
In fact, we've had a couple of requests, John, a couple of requests for you in the Christmas season, the festive season, to get into a Christmas cardies.
No chance.
If you could do that.
No chance.
You must have some Christmas t-shirts or something.
I do not.
You do have some branded t-shirts, which are nice. anyway, welcome everyone. Welcome to Ticker Stock. Feel free to, comment on anything you want. If there's any charts, any companies you want us to look at, let us know in the comments there. And if you could help us out by liking and subscribing there. And also, don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's free, but priceless. You'll never look back once you do that. So, we have to come up with titles every day. I do try to make it a bit creative kind of thing. And I thought, today, I woke up, right? And on top of everything else that's going on, sort of bonds dropping off a cliff and yields going through the ceiling there. You've got, war, horrible situation in the Middle East. You've got Ukraine going on. There's other wars around the world. And I woke up, there's this shooting in America, and everyone's getting worried. Can it get any more gloomy? Is it possible to get any more gloomy? And I thought, well, we must be now, surely, at peak fear. As Warren Buffett said, best investor in the world. The trick is to be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And it's a contrarian view of the markets, and that's the way we should. If you are really bearish at the bottom of the market, you're never likely to take advantage of the cheap, good value companies on offer there. And likewise, at the top of the market, if you're buying more at the top and you're greedy, that's the time when Warren's fearful. He starts selling off there. Right now, I don't know if right now, but maybe he's buying a bit more because there are companies out there at good value. So what are you at the moment? Are you scared at the moment? If you are, isn't that an opportunity? Because that's the way the stock market works, isn't it? You have to pick your psychology,
It is very gloomy. It's very gloomy. The world seems a very unsettled place at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is never the kind of backdrop you want as an investor. But, there is another famous phrase, Nathaniel Rothschild, going back to the start of the 19th century, buy on the sound of cannons, sell on the sound of trumpets. The idea is that the start... Well, there are no trumpets yet. We just have cannons. But the idea of that was, buying on the outset of war is actually a good time to start investing in markets. And it wouldn't feel like it, but it's, there is all sorts of geopolitical upheaval at the moment, which is very, very unpleasant.
Yeah. Well, you say unsettled, it's unstable. I tell you what's very consistent, John, and that is the AMOL share. It is down again today. Literally yesterday, I think it was like 21 days out of 26 has been down for. And now, literally 22 days out of 26. So it's good going that. It's very consistent and massively oversold. Continue down further. I think it's now even worse on an oversold level than the COVID dash for cash crash. But, it is gloomy-ish out there. But like I said, we have historically... September, October are not good months for markets, they often chime with historics. Like if you go back, some of the biggest crashes happened in October, and they are the back end of October. And then you get this sort of rally then in November, so it builds up. And then December is one of the best months of the year. So I keep saying it. It may sound insane, but when you think it won't come from nowhere, it does come from somewhere. When peak fear hits, and it rebounds, and all of a sudden, people, as we've been chasing the market down and people start selling, it'll be chased up as well. And even more ferociously, because it's been oversold. That is nuts, that. That is an unbelievable drop. We're now like 49% or 48.9% down, 780 days on AMOL share. That's phenomenal. And that is, over time, be patient though, but it will be a buying opportunity. Like I said, it's... That's crazy. It's nuts. Nuts. Crazy nuts. I tell you. Anyway, let's have a look at the indices here, see what's happening generally. It's all down, everyone. All down. Ocado! Hey! John's favourite. It's up. Number one biggest riser. Ocado!
Thinking about the sort of broad index declines, there's a bit... if you look at the Nasdaq yesterday, that was down about 2.5%. Because there was mixed earnings news from big tech. Google got savaged. Microsoft did all right. But yeah, it's all looking a bit shaky. And obviously the fears over the US and rising bond yields, as you mentioned earlier, again, are once again providing a headwind for markets. And we, you know, we sort of get the tail end after effects of what happens over in the US.
Yeah.
And the dollar is always going to be weak.
Yeah. No, but do you know what? I've also read that, I don't know who it was, a billionaire investor on Twitter. I don't know if he's on Twitter. Someone's quoting him on Twitter. But he said the biggest amount of, most amount of pain being felt at the moment is by the Fed, you know, servicing their debt. They have $33 trillion of debt. And even servicing that at where they are right now, you know, the yields they have to pay really is. And in fact, you know, Jerome Powell said this is not sustainable. You know, it was, with the course we're on, it's not sustainable. So mark my words, you know, they say higher for longer. They'll tweak that, like I said, to fit their narrative. But essentially what that means, yes, interest rates will be a bit higher than they have been the last 10 years, but they've been zero the last 10 years pretty much. So they'll be higher, but they'll bring them down. I guarantee it pretty much. And anyway, comments, by the way. Ben, the markets are still being battered. Is it time to buy house builders or perhaps IUKP, UK, a property ETF, to spread the risk over a basket of property companies? Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if
in a sector like house building, I don't know if spreading the risk is going to make much of a difference. But, you know, because they're all essentially subject to exactly the same pressures. Yeah. And the main one is interest rate sensitivity. The best thing you can say about house builders is that inflation is receding, so the cost of materials is starting to fall back.
That's the IUKP property ETF.
I don't know what's in it. I mean, does that? I'd have to have a look. But you know, commercial properties, you know, pretty nasty as well.
I mean, IUKD, which is a dividend payer, and that's even taking the hit. That's FTSE 250, 150. You know, look at the downtrend. But I mean, that is, of course, it's across sectors. That you get the old tobacco makers in there. I'm sorry, ethical investor. I don't normally invest in, but it's across. I think one of the biggest holders they've got actually is Anglo American, Rio Tinto, all the big. Well, in fact, the big dividend payers, the FTSE 100 and 250. That way, they are they're sector diversified. You know,
I wonder how it's weighted. You know, is it weighted by market cap or is it evenly weighted across all the dividend payers? I'd have to have a look at how that actually worked. One big dividend payer that's had a nasty bit of news today is Unilever. Shares down.
Oh, is it? That's what Unilever. You own those, don't you?
I do. It's all gone a bit. Well, it hasn't gone wrong. Still up. But today's.
What was the problem then? What were you saying then? Because we said here
volume growth under pressure. Okay. Because people are feeling the pinch and trading down. I don't think the summer the sort of summer helped. Ice cream is a big business for them.
Let me just look at the chart there. And that, John, what can you see there? What can you see?
Ice cream.
Of a series of what?
Oh, don't lower lows, lower no, highs, lo- lower it, highs. It, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not a technical analyst. That one, yeah. That.
And in fact, on the web, look at that. And there's a series of higher lows there, and the rolling over. Where's the rolling? That's what you see. When you're in a company, if you're in a company that's doing well, then when do you actually start to take the profit? Because you think, look at that there. I mean, that low. You know, that's the high. It didn't break up higher than that. So straight away, you think, okay, maybe one time is not good. But a second low, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get out here a second because it's not quite breaking.
And in fact, the main problem with Unilever, just from a fundamental analysis perspective, and I do appreciate your view on the chart there, is that, you know, a lot of its growth, certainly over the last couple of years, has been driven by pricing. Because you know, the brand strength allowed it to push price increases through. But it now does seem that, you know, the cost of living crisis being where it is, you know, pushing price increases through is becoming harder and it's really starting to, you know, dent volume growth. So, problematic. What your chief financial officer announced as well. So, you know, double whammy.
Yeah, double whammy. Look at that. You see a bit of support there, but it's today, it's broken down below that. How much is it down for you?
3%, near enough.
Okay, yeah. You know what? You say financials, I mean, I always look at financials first. I always look at fundamental research first. But you often say sometimes there's something in the chart playing out there. They sort of knew. Look at that. Why did it drop off? What happened here? It went from like in April 23, it went, you know, from this level down to here. And it, why did that happen? You know, sort of, in a few days, 11.4%
in
46 days. So there was something that was happening there. You could see, you know, share supply came in and beat share demand. And so anyway, Ben is asking something else. Which sectors will recover most quickly coming out of a long bear market? True, you will get the biggest bounce, the ones that are really suppressed the most sometimes. If they're massively oversold, you can, you know, pick quality players in those sectors and it could be a thing. Massive, Ben said, the massive opportunity, but have lots of losses to make up. Yeah, exactly. Well, don't, patient. What I'm saying now, you know, this is the opportunity it is, but it can carry on for a while longer, you know? And that's why I think putting charts into it is very good. You see the trend happening rather than just jumping in on fundamentals alone. Pair it up. Use all the tools you have.
There is an interesting question around, you know, should you, when you should bail on a company that's losing you money, on a share that's losing you money. Because, you know, you've got a long way back once the share has fallen. You know, if a share falls 50%, to recover those losses, it's got to double, basically. So,
yeah.
So, you know, it is. You're asking a lot when you're hanging on to a loser in the expectation you're going to make your money back.
Well, do you know what? That's that. I mean, if you look at it, if you're 10% down in a share, you need to get 11% back. If you're 33% down, you need to get 50% back. Okay. Yeah, if you're 100% down, if, you know, say 50% down, you need to get 100% rise in the share price to get it back. So I just think literally run about 20% when you start getting that. Microcaps can do it in a few sessions, but when you start going beyond 20% down, that starts to get a bit worrying to make the distance there, the gain. So that's why an extra level of protection for me is I never go big straight away, because if I say, if I use, for example, a round figure, say 3 to 5% of the total portfolio value, no more than that, maybe I do about 3%, and it goes against me, then the loss is only small. So it's a level of protection I have there, you know. So even if I've done the fundamental, then the technical, and then the third level of security is my portfolio management and my exposure to that, you know. So hopefully, if I get all those three right, even if I go wrong, I can't take too much of a hit.
I mean, you know, from my perspective, you know, I'm still in profit on Unilever. It's paid some nice dividends, so you know, my absolute returns are actually boosted when it comes to the total return. So still, you know, I'm hanging on to a profitable position. I did think when we were talking the other day about McBride and Reckitt that I should probably dump with you, but I didn't.
I keep saying that. I said, you know, years ago, honestly, it was like the bouquet. What's the name? What's in bouquet? From the bouquet?
Hyacinth bouquet.
Like, you wouldn't be seen dead with an own brand. You know, but that was like 20, 30 years ago. You had to have top brands all the way. Oh, yes. It's like keeping up the Joneses and all that. Now it's not. They're good quality own brands. It's almost like you're a fool if you don't do it, because literally they're as good a quality and they're about, you know, 20%, 30% cheaper. So,
But the other way to look at it is that, you know, I don't really like chopping in and out of stuff. I don't want to be a trader. So, you know, if I think a company's, you know, got good long term prospects, then why not?
No, I'm bigger companies. I mean, you know, but saying that, John, a trader, you know, you've gone from that's a year there of trend, uptrend, you know, so only for years is decent. It's not short term trading that. These trends last for a long time. It's just at the moment, it's having a bit of a pullback. But,
I bought it, you know, sort of. We're sort of July 20. No, it's quite early actually. Maybe early in 2021. So, you know, had a bit of a rise, then a very long sell off, and you know, where would I have bought it to be in profit now?
Let me go back. Let me go back. You leave it here.
But you know, you have to. You know, you're rough and smooth. It fell for quite a while after I bought it and made it up. So, you know, there's the counter argument for selling when stuff falls out of favour.
I've never heard of Headlam Group. Ben, so you've got Headlam.
Floor coverings.
That's a horrible downtrend there. And this is going it's nowhere near even uptrend there. So stand back from that.
I haven't looked at them for a while.
You know, look at that. I mean, you could say, look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 odd days down. And look at the RSI. Let's look at that. Yeah, that's way oversold. But I'd stand back from that and wait. I mean, honestly, what you need to do is literally, if you like a company fundamentally, put an alert on it and say, if it gets above this level, say 193, you get alerted. And at least then you know it's back in trend, back up somewhere.
Just looking at this year's forecast for Headlam. I mean, yeah, big drop in pre-tax profit. You know, it's really struggling to grow that top line. And the earliest that earnings recovery is expected is 24. So yeah, there's a lot of headwinds for that. Inflation would have, you know, the cost of production would have been horrendous, along with, you know, the impacts of demand on the weakening economy on demand as well. Again, yeah. Double whammy.
We mentioned yesterday about jumping into companies that have, I said, try and avoid most extremes, like a big fall off or big rise. Try not to chase those in either way. Try to go with small incremental trends, you know, uptrends. A good example of that is Ethernet. I've no understanding what's going to my mind, it's going through. But because it's rising, people are jumping into it. And because it's a small micro nano cap, you know, buying begets buying. But it was like on the edge of administration a month ago. And like, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're jumping in that now, be careful. Be very careful. Because I think they was it 90 grand they raised, which now is under question. I don't know what's going on there, to be honest. I haven't got the time effort to look at it. But I'd just be careful with that. Because literally, even though it's like at 3 million now, it's doubled or tripled in the last few days. They got no money. Businesses make losses, need money.
Move on.
So, Oxford Metrics up there, second, good company that. Like I said, it's in that range a little bit, so need to break that, but good company. Upland still being followed. That's, like I said, again, I'm sure a couple of people, aren't shareholders now gutted? They didn't accept that 14 pence offer, because where are we now?
Back to, like, we aren't back to where we started, pence. Are we?
3.8 pence. He turned down a 14 pence offer, apparently. So hang on. So that 14 pence offer. Look at that. God, that'd have been like from here up to here. And I can't see the upside. What that'd have been? That'd have been 323% up. Just accept the offer in this day and age. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that ahead of them. But yeah, unbelievable. Back down. Be careful chasing those. Okay. Contango. Have you read that, John, at all?
No.
Okay. It's they are a resource development company. They're talking about a potential asset sale here. So there we are. It's always Contango. I don't know why it's one of the most read. But, you know, it's in a, again, look at that, you know, without me even saying anything, you can see what that is. You know, lower highs, all down, lower lows. It's had a little bit of spike up today. But even with that, it's not above previous high, look. So, what else is on the most read here? Pullbag. Have you looked at Pullbag?
Yeah, we've covered Pullbag. Victor.
Yeah.
So basically, they've been working with an AI specialist called Cytoreason.
Yeah.
Basically, to use AI to help them identify targets for drug development. The news is basically validation of the results of the work they did with Cytoreason. So Pullbag has a very experienced scientific advisory board, and they've said, yeah, these targets look good. Move ahead. So, you know, it's sort of a really very, very, it's basically a validation of the effectiveness of AI as a way of sort of expediting drug discovery, accelerating.
It's a telling thing here, look. You see this range is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Sooner or later, right, that'll pop one way or the other. And if they come out with good news, it'll pop up that way. That's good little webs there. So it's Pullbag. What else is on the front page?
We've got a few bits of it.
BSCF, essentially, they're going for now a new cornea company, set up a new company. I'm thinking, why? If you're a small company, you only have a limited amount of resources, don't you?
Yeah, but it is a sort of technology, it's a technology company. Really, so you know, the first application of what it was doing was lab-grown meat, but the technology has multiple applications. You know, it is a science company, and take these bits of science through into commercialization, it does make sense to split them into separate companies.
I've seen Beyond Meat's chart. Look at that. That is obviously the poster child. I mean, did you see it? Like it fired back, didn't it?
It came in
when it listed back in 2019. Now. Beyond Meat, but listed literally, look at that, $45, and it went up to $218, and now it's back at what, $5? Gaw, it's back at $5. Anyway, that's the point. I do like this area, and I do think it'll be huge in years to come when it's like for like. It's one of those things. It's like EV technology. Once the price is the same, it'll be a no-brainer switching over to lab-grown meat because ecologically, you know, it's ethically good and it's even better for you. You can add to things. But here's BCF.
Yeah, I remember this one was, again, look at this chart. I mean, this went ballistic and, you know, it's almost back where it started.
Bouncing off this level here, down again. Yeah, so that is a bit of a, it needs, you know, even here, you see maybe some resistance there. So maybe it needs to get above that sort of.
It's definitely an interesting company. But
you know, I do like technically that. It's just at the moment, the commercial, when you have the postage like Beyond Meat, you know, struggling a little bit, you think, okay, if they're struggling, and then.
Beyond Meat is slightly different now. That's basically synthetic. Meat. It's not lab grown meat. It's.
Oh yeah, it is. Yes, you're right.
It's fake meat.
Fake meat. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. Sorry. I apologize. No, I do like this tech. I honestly believe. I a while back I invested in agronomics a long time back. But then I fell in love with them a bit because investing in companies, raising money, investing in companies. Oh, what's the exit here? So I got out. But agronomics. That's all about that. And I actually did a video on it saying, to me, it's a no-brainer. Why would you go in the supermarket in about, you know, say 5-6 years' time, if you've got lab-grown steak there and normal steak, and one is healthier, same price, tastes nicer, doesn't kill animals, it's better for the environment. Why would you go for the one where the animal's been killed? I mean, to me, it wouldn't make any sense. Just, you know, agronomics like that.
You get this in ethical debate, it was probably best left for somewhere else.
But you know, even ecological, you know, environmental is right, it works. And even health wise, you know, it's no pest, no sort of antibiotics put into it and all that stuff. Mm. So it just makes it, you know, on all levels, it's a no brainer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. BS, anything else, Mosman?
What did we cover? We've covered Hummingbird, we covered.
Oh, yeah. Hummingbird is, in fact, I think one of the fallers today, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean... Hum.
Oh, it was one. It really bounced back up. But the numbers, look at this, what's the numbers? But gold, if you look at gold, it's rallying at the moment. It broke 2,000 a day. Maybe that's bounced back because of that, because where's gold? Gold. There we are.
Yeah.
You can see, see that downward trend there. Look at that. There's an example of breaking a downward trend channel there. And breaking the support. So it needs to get above this. It's been there before. It needs to get above 210 maybe gold, but it's a nice bounce on just global worries, isn't it? Isn't that what it is, I suppose?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And absolutely. Safe haven. Investment.
Yeah. So go on. Sorry, Hummingbird. Sorry, go on.
No, I mean, production's up at its main mine, which is Yanfolila, if I can pronounce that correctly.
Yanfolila.
It's, it's ramping up at the other mine, Kourousa. You know, it's all in. Costs of production are falling, you know, that's something that which I think has held the whole gold mining sector back is this elevated cost of production.
All the same,
So, you know, it's generally okay. They do refer to some challenges they've had in ramping up production, which, you know, basically training and weather being another thing. But you know, they're sort of sticking to their production guidance for the year.
Yeah,
and their sort of longer term guidance, and that then helps them reduce their debt. So you know, it all looked reasonably good.
Good. Yeah, exactly. And if the gold price goes up, but look at that there, right? For a long time, it came in a downtrend. Mm. And just looking at that resistance there, didn't quite get above it. Then it broke it nicely here. It came back down, broke nicely, and you can see. What you want to do is finish the day above that previous resistance and then up it goes and then all of a sudden it comes down again.
I would suggest that, I mean, they've got some reasonably punchy forecasts out there in the market.
Yeah.
Get them up. So maybe the reading is that they're not going to hit them.
Peak Fear, Super Mono says, Peak Fear is watching England play England cricket team.
Oh, God, they're playing now, aren't they? Are they going now?
Individual construction stocks I like are Crest and Head. Well, Head, just stand back from that. Crest Nicholson, is that right?
Crest Nicholson, house building.
CRST. Let's look at that again.
Oh, yeah, that's a figure today. Alumask is involved in, we covered today. They had a trading update.
Crest, again, honestly, stand back from that for a while. It's Alumask. Alumask, what was it?
Yes. What do Alumask do? Basically, house building products.
Oh, okay.
Water management, which I think you can call guttering and piping. Any sort of metallic products used in house building, and sort of other areas of building. So, you know, they would have been held back a little bit by the sort of house building slump we've seen here. But the update today was pretty solid. Solid. I mean, that chart looks a lot better than most companies in this sector.
Yeah, well, you can see it's come down. And now we've hit this level. And look at that level there, 130. It's retested, in fact, a little bit of higher. Mm. A higher low there, but still in a little bit of a range, needs to break up. But yeah, it's a lot better. I mean, let's try and find a chart, a trend here, uptrend, because you haven't seen it yet. So let's have a look at what I want to say is one of the most read. Where was it? No, one of the, in fact, the fall is here. Safe style again.
But this again, I mean, another building materials. Yeah. This one is windows.
Process update. Well, it's an exciting RNS, isn't it? Processes are updating.
I think when we're talking about process in the case of this company, it is a process designed to keep it solvent. Yeah. So quite exciting. It's in a pickle. Yeah. It's in a real pickle.
It's in a pickle. I love that phrase. Argentex.
Comes up a lot at the moment.
I used to own this, and I made a nice pretty coin on this. And the figures were knocking out of the park. And in fact, I was trying to find out where I got it, AGFX. But they came out the results before last, and I thought there's something not right here. And literally, I bought them, I think, in fact, I'll show you where I bought them, was across the 50 moving average, and they gapped up. And they started, and I just got out for something. I don't know why I got out. And the figures were weakening.
I mean,
but today they announced Harry Adams, who was front and center of the company a lot, doing a lot of interviews. Mm. He's very promotional. I mean, not in a bad way, you know, very professional guy. And I said, Harry Adams, CEO, has left the company with immediate effect. I did say on Twitter, sometimes in your investment thesis, you can't plan for certain things. You look at fundamentals, forecasts, you look at the market, you look at the charts, you look at the cash flow, you do all that. But what you don't plan sometimes is just a CEO who's very active just stepping down or leaving straight away. You think, oh my God. So the only way you can protect against that is portfolio management, you know, not overexpose yourself to one company because you don't plan for that. Now, if you hold like 50% of a company and that happens, it's gutting, isn't it? If you take the 25% hit in one day, oh my God. But if you take some less than 10%, it's fine. But I thought, what's going on here? You never actually find out the reason why CEO steps down. It happened to me in Destiny Farmer a while back. They never tell you in the end. But I mean, there's a clue here, I think. Nigel Railton, chairman, commented, we have recently conducted a review of Argentex strategy. Ooh, okay. And I've identified a number of areas to focus to ensure continued growth of the business. So to me, that's where the clue lies. Where's the growth gone then, to ensure the growth? The growth, to me, seemingly must have stopped or slowed down. Mm. And they're saying they want to ensure the continued growth of the business. So they're saying what maybe Harry is doing wouldn't ensure that. But Jim is coming in. Harry and Jim, they're two English names, aren't they?
Well,
Harry's down, Jim's coming in. Come on, Jim. Harry, get out.
Well, I mean, just sort of going back to you mentioned Destiny's Child.
I'm a survivor.
Destiny Farmer.
I'm going long, Destiny's Child, particularly Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, they've now brought in a very experienced chief executive who it really does look like he's the man who will take that company to serious heights. You know, and again, you know, in Argentex's case, the new chief exec, Jim, or certainly the interim chief exec, Jim Ormond, is a very, very capable chap. You know, he's done some serious things before, and he's current chairman of Gusborne, the winemaker.
I looked at, why are winemakers so expensive? Their value is crazy. But anyway, look at that. I mean, you can see there, you know, all of a sudden, I'm boring you with charts, maybe, but it's worth paying attention to them because you can see here, this high here, it didn't get above that, okay? And the next high was from, 140, it went down to 128. It tried to get it back out to 134 again, didn't get it back down there. All of a sudden, it started going down. Mm. You're thinking, what's going on? And even that line there, which you could say, roundabout sort of 110, £1 of support, gap down below that. Which is a little bit telling.
But
Gus, look at Gus. I looked at this earlier, right? I said, okay, I do like the idea of English wines because honestly, I don't know how I slipped into Radio 4. I was driving to, I think, Wales, and Radio 4, I was just flipping around. I was sick of Destiny's Child. I'm a survivor. So I went to Radio 4 and I thought, okay, let's have this. And they talk about English wine. And they were saying that the climate has helped them massively over the last 20 years. Now the grapes are sweeter, and you can't deny that. That is climate change. These are growers of wine who've been doing it for 20 years, and they say it's getting better, the seasons are longer, the harvests are better, because climate is slowly going up. And so Gus, anyway, Gus, I look at Gus. Okay, so let's see the value of this. Yeah, Gus is the old... is Gus Bourne. It is like a nice English wine. Ooh, Gus Bourne. Ooh. So I looked down Harvest Report, and they say here, the harvest is now complete. It's our biggest yield to date, which is very good news. I thought, okay, good. Abundance of high-quality fruit was harvested under sunny skies and earlier than in typical years.
Well, we can see that around here my rural surroundings. A lot of the wheat was harvested very early this year because it was hot as hell.
Yeah, so it's a 45 million market cap. What's the value of this company then? So it went down. Strong sales was growth up 24% at 2.3 million. So even if let's say 5 million for the year. That's still, what, 9 times sales. That's not cheap. Mm. That's not cheap. And I think, well, okay, net debt of 15.2 million. What? Oh, no. I'll just drink the stuff. I won't invest in it.
Yeah, well, no, it's a growth area. It's growth sector. You've got Chapel Down as well.
Chapel Down is the one. Isn't
really interesting. Anyway, we digress. We were talking about Argentex. And, you know, I'm looking at forecasts and, you know, they're still all right. So, you know, the growth is still in the forecasts. So, you know, maybe what the market has also seen is that the numbers that are out there are no longer going to be hit.
Yes,
because about the departure of the chief executive, that why the share price is down.
Yeah, but yes, because I think what they'll have to do is announce formally if there is a downgrade. Obviously, the brokers can't do that before they release the figures officially, you know, because otherwise they're inside, so they can't do that. So they'll have to release the figures officially of a downgrade. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it. I'm suggesting because they said to ensure future growth. To me, that says something's gone awry with the growth. So I'm just surmising there. But
We had cap payments the other day, didn't we? That was foreign exchange. Maybe there's something that it's like there may be something going on in the broad foreign exchange sector.
Well, that's what I was worried about. I own a couple of shares of look at cab payments go. I own a couple of shares of the smaller Cornerstone FS, which is knocked out of the park.
Yeah,
they've done very well, but we've seen quite a few.
But coming from a smaller base, which may different focus and a different way of scaling up the business.
That's what I thought. Well, I thought, well, maybe the earlier stage is smaller, so they don't need as much growth and momentum going forward. Mm. But cabs, it still isn't really bouncing. They have third day of dwindling. And in fact, let's quick comments here. Let's look. Interest rates prediction. Where is it going? That's what Gregory says. I think they'll got to keep it on hold now. I just don't think the economy, the MPC member said, we're only feeling 20% of the rate hike so far, 20-25%, round about that level. So it's going to get harder for businesses. And, you will have that October last year figure drop out of the CPIs, which was a high figure last October. So that'll bring it down naturally. To around about 5% anyway, or 5.5, and then you'll have interest rates around about the same level. I'd say it's a full polio favorite, kicked out the CEO. It appears Mr. Market doesn't like it. No, he doesn't like that. What's the yield on IUKD? It's around about 6% at the moment, just over 6%, 6.5%, I think. IUKD, England 156 all out, Mr. Steve. Okay, so that was why you've
not been a great tournament. Tournament for England.
I'm missing some things here. Okay, listen. Song have rejected portfolio sale and other management proposals. Yeah. I don't know. You didn't say that. How do you even say that?
Hypnosis.
Is it hypnosis? Why do they spell it like that? Is that what it's spelled?
I don't know.
It's spelled hip-gog.
This is a remarkable story here. You know, these so there's a few of these companies got over Roundhill Royalties.
So they buy up back catalogues of artists
and then
they get royalties on the play of those. An income stream. But what's going wrong here? Is it gonna be less payments coming from them, isn't it?
Well, there would be. You know, you've got two problems. They spend a lot of money on these.
Yeah.
These back catalogues in an environment where the interest rate was much lower, so the value of those royalties into the future, the cumulative value of those royalties, was worth a lot more when interest rates were low than it is when interest rates and inflation are high. So you know, they were in the absolute, you know, center of the firing line of the sort of the inflationary effects on you know, discounted cash flow valuation.
Are they going to be a survivor? I mean, you always see that, don't you, about you know, the artists selling their back catalog for millions and millions. Wow, I'd do that. What are they hang on to them for? They can still play their own songs. It's like, you know, it's like not a big deal. So yeah, I definitely do that. Cash in on your own artistry, talent.
Yeah,
sell out.
Yeah,
sell out.
But it's, I mean, I love music, but the music industry is not known for being a you know, anything other than a fairly cutthroat business, with some fairly interesting characters knocking around in it, and it's one that I've always avoided as a result. I mean, strangely enough, this brings us back to Destiny's Child, which there used to be a company called Sanctuary Records.
Yeah. Which I think that's cheers in those.
Yeah, which you may remember, and I think the manager of Hypnosis has had something to do with Sanctuary.
Okay,
but they got into bed with Beyonce's father, if I remember rightly.
Whoa, it's a big bed.
Yeah, and it all seemed to go a bit wrong from there. And I think Sanctuary.
If you had to get in bed with one of the Beyonce family, it wouldn't be one of Beyonce's father. Let's be honest, other choice. So E-Net recovering on CEO guaranteed current costs 2020. Okay, it's a risky one. I'm saying invest in, try and find a business that's improving.
Chromet, if you want some good news today, look at Chromet.
Head of ex-dividend. Yeah, but Ben, they're down massively on the, I want to say it may be a good company. You said head CEO is doing a good 100 million of freehold property. They have a very good balance sheet, will be good recovery. Yes, but honestly, just pay attention to the chart a little bit. Honestly,
yeah, then if you dig in, you know, I'll have a look at that because if you know, if you do have strong asset backing and you know, the company is in a fairly solvent position, then you know, you may find that is just sort of genuine Ben Graham value type situation.
Yeah, but Ben Graham, by the way, rewrote his book about 10 times. All right, and he tweaked his. To make an investor, you keep tweaking. Now, I'm sure with the technology that offers by charts and just the probability of buying stocks going down with that is go with momentum. It's money flow. There's no more pure, you know, evaluation of a stock than the money going in, going out of it, and that is exactly what's happening. Money is coming out. Don't fight that. Honestly, you would be in a paper loss for a while.
That's true, but then things do have intrinsic value.
Yeah, I know, but if people aren't willing to pay for that intrinsic value, it'll keep going down.
But that sentiment, fine, you know? So, you know, there are two factors.
All I'm saying is, fundamentals, yes, that's the first biggest tool you use. And then it's like, you know, if you're in a DIY tool, bag of tools there, you start off with a hammer, okay? That's the fundamental thing. Then you start getting a bit more picky, fine-tuning, get the screwdriver out. That's when you look at, use all the tools available. That there, stand back. It's nowhere near an uptrend. It's gapping down, and you can find yourself a lot lower than that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Stick it on a watch list, you know, and you might miss out on a jump one day when sentiment does improve. But you know, something has intrinsic value. You know, the market might not recognise it for some time.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Sentiment remains poor. So you know, actually, I agree, Justin. Combining the two approaches is where you
want to be. No, I always go with fundamentals first. Always, 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 because you just trade a chart, and you can be trading something that's insolvent and go bust the next day. Fundamentals always lead technicals, but essentially, you go. Okay, sorry. It's almost something else, John. What was it quickly?
Oh, Chromec.
What do they do then?
They are in
KR. Yeah, I know Chromec. They are sort of. Yeah,
they're in the defense space. But this is wonderful news. The shares are up 12%. But then, you know, going back to the initial discussion we had about peak fear, this is a contract for biological security by the U.S. Department of Defense's Weapons of Mass Destruction Division. So lovely stuff. Big old contract. You know, really to help their revenue visibility.
I interviewed these a few years back, I think, and they got committed with low notes there. And I've just worried about the cash burn. And in fact, the valuation is a lot higher then, actually. So now they're probably better value for money. The revenue increase, was this final year, is it? Yeah. So growth there, 17.3 million. But they are, so obviously, loss before tax was 7.3 million.
Raised a bit of cash.
Yeah, they've raised a bit of cash.
Yeah, again, a bit of cash.
Again, you know what? Look at that. You know, you could have said they were cheap up here, but they keep coming down. But maybe now, sooner or later, they'll get to a where some people saying that's great value, and then they'll bounce and rally, and they get, you know, what you want to see is almost get above this previous high. I mean, above these support levels as well. It broke down. But yeah, no, I do like their technology because they do land some big contracts, and you know, look at that. Yeah, no, I was going to say 1.5 there.
I bought some shares yesterday, by the way.
Oh, hang on. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen.
I could talk myself into it on the show. Yeah, I bought some Angling Direct.
Yes, okay.
A little nibble on the bait. It was too tempting.
Well, there we are. This is where, you know, I think you pay attention to the chart as well. It's been down, you know, from 89.90 pence there. It was back in 2021. And you could go all the way down. Again, I think Angling is great. Angling is going bigger and popular. All the way down to 24 pence. And then now, you can see there, nice level of support, higher, lower highs, and it's rallied strong with the RSI.